Hello everybody, what a difference a week makes. This time last week, we were talking about Sale losing their first two games since Premiership Rugby's restart. This week, we're talking about two consecutive wins that have put Sale back into the top two. My name is Lewis, welcome back inside the Shark Tank. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by my co-host, Alex. Alex, how are you?
I'm very well, mate. I watched Sale beat Bristol 40 points to 7 on Saturday. My playing partner Matt parred the last so that we drew our golf game after being two down today, and Sale are ending the weekend in second place with the hunt for the title back on. So what more do you want? It's great, isn't it? It's all positive again.
It is. And it's very much been a tale of two separate weeks. And we'll obviously come on to the Bristol game very shortly, but I think it was a case of job done on Saturday. Brilliant win, very, very much a statement win. It's kind of turned me back from a pessimist to an optimist, at least for another week.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we said, didn't you, before this sort of run of three games against Exeter, Bristol and Wasps, we said we'll do well to get two wins out of that with rotation. And we have. So I suppose when you look back on it, it was actually a success. And after the Exeter game, we were all sort of head in hands, oh God, we're going into Bristol and Wasps. Our rotation policy doesn't seem to be there. And actually, we've put out a considerably under-strength side from our first team against Wasps, but actually a superb team performance. And, as you and James said in the last pod, some real performances from homegrown players. And then this week, yes, we've been sort of beneficial recipients of the rotation requirements and the fact that Bristol had to rest a lot of players. But at the same time, we had a job to do, and I thought we executed superbly. We ran away with the game in the first half, and what more can you ask for, really? So massively positive for me.
Yeah, let's touch on that before we do three-word reviews then, because the elephant in the room is the fact that Bristol put out very much a second-choice side, and Sale were able to put out what I would say is pretty close to our first choice side when everyone's available. And it shows you just how valuable that win on Tuesday was, because we were able to go down to Wasps, play a rotated team and win. It allowed us to then basically keep up that momentum this weekend, but with some more of our first choice names. And I think, Bristol were very much a weakened side, but to the point where I think even the side that played Wasps probably could have still beaten them quite handedly. That said, the fact that we were able to get those points down at Wasps with an understrength team and then be able to rotate back into the big guns meant that we were in a much stronger position, arguably one that wasn't needed because of the team Bristol put out. But it's very much a case of, job done. You can only beat what's in front of you. As you mentioned, very professional and clinical performance. And it does kind of lead to the sense that, well, we've now got a week before our next game and we're in a really good position because we've just won two on the bounce with two very different teams, and we've now got a week to actually give our key players a bit of a rest.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, this point about the weakened team, yes, it was a weakened team, but we were so sort of clinical and ruthless in the first 20 minutes, half an hour, that it made it look almost worse than it was, in my opinion. I think, yes, Bristol didn't play well and had a weakened team, but we didn't make really any, if many, mistakes. Everything we did was executed well, executed accurately, and we just kept the pressure on all the time. I think you saw that De Klerk and McGinty worked really well together. Luke James, obviously, another storm performance, and up front, we had the advantage of having the heavier pack and the more experienced pack, and therefore we were able to dominate up front, gain field position. But then the way we executed, you look at the tries we scored, there's passes there that when you're not playing well, they don't go to hand. They weren't tries because Bristol were a worse team. The opportunity came about because Bristol didn't have a full-strength team out, but then it was up to us to finish them. And actually, I thought we finished them really well, which is a massive change from, when you look at that Quinns game at the start of this period, when we probably had opportunities but weren't able to execute well enough.
Yeah, absolutely. And, there are a couple of tries. The Marlon Yard one, the last one Sale scored, you bust through a few tackles, and maybe that doesn't happen if Bristol have the big guns out. But you know, you kind of look, go down the list of sales tries, and you know, the Solomona one after I think the was about 10-15 minutes in to go 14-0 up. Now it was a bit of a backbreaker because it's an intercept try, and all of a sudden we were pretty clear, you know, quite early on, and any sort of fight that Bristol's sort of reserves might have been able to take was kind of dissipated. But apart from that Solomona one, which was you know again a result of our high pressure defence and our defensive structure, you know, you look around, you know, how we scored our tries, and it's very much a case of just good solid team play, good execution. You know, there's the Clerk try, for example, bit of individual talent from Tuolangi, you know, to break clear, but then it just goes through the hands, a nice, you know, nice offloads, that kind of stuff. You know, and we had some really nice attacking structures as well, which led to the tries, you know, for Luke James and Sam James as well. So really, really positive performance. And I think it is important to mention we beat them by 33 points because they had a weakened team. But the fact is, the way we were playing on Saturday meant that we could be fairly confident of a win, regardless of how strong Bristol's team was on the day. And I think that's kind of the key takeaway to have from Saturday and what has kind of put us in such a positive mood here. So let's do some three-word reviews. Matt Sansbury, Luke James superstar. Unsurprisingly, a lot of love for Luke James at the moment. Grant Pollard, good confidence boost. Don, crowds back when. Ben, steady improvement welcome. Sarah Denby, made weekend fun. And Mark Thomas, very droll, all right, I guess. So, Alex, you weren't here for the kind of Luke James appreciation pod that me and James did. I think it was on Wednesday. let's kind of talk about individual performances, and the kind of first one that I imagine we'll want to talk about is Luke James. Just how good has he been at fullback for Sale in the last couple of games?
Yeah, absolutely superb. And I don't, you know, want to go over all ground from the Wasps game, but he was brilliant in that game. His positional play, which you obviously mentioned on Twitter and then on the pod, was just immense. And I think he's such a solid player. You know, the way he took his try, the strength on him is just unbelievable. The way he sort of, you know, can ride tackles. He doesn't look like a sort of a big player and a someone who would bounce people off, but he just rides tackles so well. So that was really encouraging in the Wasps game. In this game, I think he just, you know, he had a platform set for him and he just took opportunities. You know, he nearly had a hat trick if the ball had gone to hand a bit nicer. And I think it would have been fully deserved. But he's just such a player who you can put on the field. And as you said last week, 7-8 out of 10 every game. Well, it might be James that said it, actually. 7-8 out of 10 every game and potentially more. And at the moment, he's in such good form that he's playing better than that. You know, he's 9-10 out of 10 every week, unless you read the rugby paper, in which case he's 7 out of 10 every week, regardless of whether he plays well or badly. But I just really like, you know, the solidity he shows and the sort of confidence he instills in the team at fullback. You know, he covers balls when they're kicked through. He's able to ride tackles and get support with him. He's got a turn of pace on him that I think people don't expect. So he becomes a bit of an attacking threat, but then also just defensively so solid and a really big boot on him. I honestly love the way he plays. And, you know, you discussed him last week, who's first choice, James or Hammersley? At the moment, on form, it's got to be James, hasn't it? Because Simon Hammersley, as good a player as he has been this season, just hasn't quite started this restart period with as much sort of authority as Luke James, which is unbelievable for a guy who's, you know, 20, 21 years old, however old he is, and, you know, played just making his way into the first team and not played that many games at fullback. He's just an absolute superstar. I can't speak highly enough of him. And I think, you know, it's good that he managed to get the attacking opportunities this week as well as sort of being able to show his defensive and sort of general rugby awareness. And both of them, Luke and Sam, are just great, great sort of players with the ball, aren't they? They're just intelligent rugby players who you can trust to do a job every game.
Absolutely. And it's difficult because we've kind of made no bones about the fact that, you know, there's so many games coming thick and fast at the moment, it's very difficult to take away many, many sort of key ideas and points from these games because, you know, just because Sale put 40 points past Bristol, the context that Bristol had just played Exeter and gone all guns blazing for that game and leaving them pretty short on players for our game means it's a totally different game. So, you know, there's a limit in terms of what we can kind of take from Saturday's performance. But the one kind of thing that's been a real theme for me is looking at people like Luke James, like, okay, where does he fit into kind of our first choice back line? What is our first choice back line with the addition of Tuilagi and Hill? You've obviously got the McGinty-Dupria kind of competition at 10 as well. And what I thought was most pertinent from Saturday's game was our attacking structure. You know, decent conditions, obviously. But this was the first time in, well, since Premiership restarted, that we just looked completely clinical and completely decisive. And a massive part of that was De Klerk, who's kicking out of hand, was brilliant to set that platform. And then, you know, he put in a man-of-the-match performance with ball in hand as well. But it feels like there's a real kind of chemistry between him and McGinty and a real balance of skill set. And then when you start adding, you know, Manu Tuilagi as the up-the-middle ball carrier, or Rohan van Rensburg, I suppose. You know, Sam James with that kind of kicking out of the hand. And again, that kind of deceptive turn of pace that he has, you know, he had a lot to do to get his try earlier on in the game. And then you kind of look at, well, you've got Denny Solomona and Marlon Yard, both of whom scored tries, both of whom took the kind of only opportunity they had to score a try very well. And then you've got kind of Luke James as this very sort of positionally sound player, makes the right decision 10 times out of 10. Good kicking out of hand, etc. You know, all of a sudden, and again, caveating, it's a very weak Bristol team, we put together the kind of attacking shape that I think is going to make us much more threatening against teams that are much better than Bristol for the rest of this restart. And that, for me, is the kind of big takeaway and what I'm most excited about off the back of, what was a pretty decisive win.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. And I think, you know, you saw that it's those relationships, isn't it? Because I think De Klerk and Sam James have got quite a good relationship as well, which sort of works very well. And you saw that for Luke James' second try when De Klerk fires the pass across to Sam James. And, you know, we're talking about this backline, but, we then also think you've got Byron McGuigan, who's in great form, who's not in that conversation. You've got Rohan, who had a great game against Wasps, who's not in that conversation. You've got Sam Hill, who's a quality player and only played once for us so far, I think, not in that conversation. Rob Dupria has put in some incredible performances for us. Will Cliff, probably player of the season before the lockdown and probably still up there as one of our best players this season. So the depth we've got for a squad of 32 is immense. I know, you know, we are susceptible to injuries, but that's always going to be the case. So I think you are right. That attacking structure looks really good now. And I think it does take a while to get going in seasons, and maybe that's our kind of issue. What doesn't take a while to get going, and I'd be keen to get your thoughts on, is defence. Because even though we're against a weak Bristol team, you know, the camera was cut into Mike Forshaw every 5 minutes, because we just, you know, other than one loose pass which got them their interception try, Bristol didn't look like they had a hope of crossing our line. I don't think they, you know, I think I saw something on Twitter which was one of Charlie Morgan's analysis, which is really good and worth a read if anyone's not read it already, of the game about our jackal. But I don't think Bristol had a rook in our 22. So, you know, a question for you, Lewis, then, I guess, you know, as much as our attacking structure is coming into play, how good has our defence been this season, and was again against Bristol on Saturday?
Well, I mean, a lot has been made about our statistically strong defensive performance this year. You know, we rank very high in all the key defensive metrics, points conceded, you know, phases in the 22, et cetera, et cetera. I actually think defence is a really good point to pick up on this game to show the gap between the two teams, because obviously, picking a first-choice team versus a second-choice team, one of the massive things you'll find is the difference in kind of physicality and obviously kind of raw attributes that you know, maybe you see more of in a 25-year-old rugby player who's fully developed versus, you know, a sort of a 20, 21-year-old who's getting game time because the, you know, Bristol or whoever don't have enough people there. And I think that's kind of a massive thing that we saw from the first minute on Saturday, was the fact that you've got, you know, tier one international players, the Currys, the Duprias, Diaga, you know, and that's just in the pack, going up against, you know, kind of rotation players, you know, kind of a lot of youngsters from the Bears Academy. And that makes a massive difference defensively, because it means, you know, your first choice players are going to be a step quicker than Bristol's second choice players, which means you can get out of the line faster to pressure the ball carrier or the distributors. It also means when it comes to things like scrums, there wasn't many on Saturday, admittedly, but you've got an edge there. It's the same at the ruck and it's the same at the maul. And obviously as well, it plays into the fact that we were able to kind of bully our way a little bit for some of our tries, because, you know, our players were in a really good position, because we've been able to put constant pressure on Bristol. So I'm not surprised that we were so dominant defensively on Saturday, you know, and I think, you know, part of that has to go to Forshaw, because we've seen the last couple of years, we have built a defensive structure that works very well, both for picking off intercept tries and for just limiting opportunities for opponents. We've cleaned up our discipline in the last couple of weeks, and I think that needs highlighting. The first two games, one of the reasons we lost was our very high penalty count. Didn't have as much of that again on Saturday, which shows that the team and the coaches have adapted quite quickly, which is really encouraging to see. But obviously the other thing is the fact that we can just be more physical, you know, up front, and that sets the platform for that attacking shape and structure that we're able to pull off seamlessly on Saturday that we've mentioned. And, you know, when you're watching Aka van der Merwe just bouncing off players because he's a fully formed rugby player, you know, who's first choice for a top Premiership team against some of the lads who might not be able to match that physical intensity, it isn't a surprise that we're able to be kind of so dominant all over the pitch, but especially defensively, to really kind of turn the screw. And I think that kind of combination of attacking shape, which we seem to have hit upon with the right balance of players, and that kind of advantage up front from a rotation point of view, I think those were the two key reasons why we were able to dominate Bristol so decisively on Saturday.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, it is interesting to sort of think, if Bristol had had a first choice side out, would we have played that well and would we have won the game? It's a bit of a moot point because they didn't have a first choice side out. As we've said at the top, you can only beat what's put in front of you. And we've rotated well out of this period and come out with, you know, we're where we started, in effect, which is pretty much as good as we could have hoped for. You know, I don't think anyone was expecting us to be first after this run of four games. So to be second is a great result. Would it have been different in a different scenario? Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, everything would have been different in the different scenario. So not one to get hung up on, I think. I guess then, unless there's anything else, we should just have a look at if there's any individual players you wanted to highlight, Lewis. I've got a couple, but I'll open up the floor to you first.
Yeah, I actually kind of want to look at it from a Bristol point of view, because, you know, just in case, you know, our listeners sort of hadn't caught the game and think we're doing Bristol, who were third in the table, a bit of disrespect. I put together a list before the pod of kind of who they were missing from their starting 15 and 23. And it really highlights the kind of gap and the reason why we were so dominant. So, you know, Bristol didn't have, I'm just going to get both tabs open now. They didn't have Harry Thacker, John Afoa, Max Laheath, Kyle Sinclair, Dave Atwood, Chris Vui, Nathan Hughes, Stephen Luatua, Callum Sheedy, Semi Radradra, who James, I think, correctly thinks is one of the best players in the world at the moment, Luke Morahan, Charles Piatow, Chris Cook as well at nine. And no disrespect to Bristol. They were a very talented squad. One of my favourite teams, actually, in the Premiership to watch. But when you are putting a team out that is without those names, it's not surprising that we were able to win both as a collective and in terms of all of our kind of one-to-one matchups across the lineup. To that end, I think a great example is the fact that we had Tom Curry, Ben Curry and Dan Dupree in our back row versus James Dunn, Jake Heenan and Ben Earl. I'm not going to lie, before Saturday, I hadn't heard of James Dunn or Jake Heenan. I'd obviously heard of Ben Earl. But what we found is that, you know, unsurprisingly, the Currys were absolutely dominant at you know on Saturday afternoon. And, you know, go and read Charlie Morgan's piece. That's a great drop, by the way, Alex, for the writer from the Telegraph, because we found a way for both of those players to play together, and a lot of coaches would struggle with that. So again, you know, we should commend the coaching staff for finding a way to get two players who are stylistically quite similar to play together in an effective manner. But I thought, again, you know, Tom Curry had one, his, probably his best game in a Sale shirt this season on Saturday. But Ben Curry, again, was absolutely fantastic. And taking the reign as club captain for a second consecutive game, remember he played, you know, the full 80 on Tuesday, he was absolutely fantastic. And I understand why Tom Curry gets plaudits, but what Sale have done is shown both of those guys can play together. And the way Curry hits his rocks, he carries, he passes, he completely dominates the breakdown along with his brother, shows that actually there might be a way for both of them to play together at the international level. And for me, Ben Curry and De Klerk, who were obviously both sounded out by the pundits, were kind of my star players. What do you reckon, Alex? And what do you reckon about that list of omissions for Bristol?
Yeah, well, to go start on the Bristol point, I think you're absolutely right. You know, they are missing some huge players. And I think there is just an element, and I completely agree that, you know, without those players, they are a much weaker side. But, you know, that's the risk you take, isn't it? That's when you're playing, when you're doing this in this sort of rotation scenario, you have to rotate, and they've gone for it against Exeter and then completely pulled the foot off the gas against us. I think you've seen that Sale have done something slightly different. He's where Steve Diamond has sort of tried to blend it a bit, and we were kind of probably critical of that over the last two pods. And actually, you know, it's probably worked out well for us. So in hindsight, it was the right decision. Just put the point on Tom Ben Curry in the back row is absolutely right. I think they work so well together. And, you know, I think I'm sure we said in a pod a year or more ago that those two have the skill set of almost like all that level of can do everything, could be a back, could be a forward, could play anywhere on the pitch and would still contribute something. They can, as you say, they can pass, they can run, they can probably kick. You know, they're immense. So I think them working together is so good for us and for England. And, you know, John Mitchell was there on Saturday, and Ben's got to be very close to that England cap, which is a massive shame for Sale because he's been such a good player for us. But they just, the balance they bring, you know, Tom's got that physicality that Ben probably hasn't quite got there yet, because he hasn't been rushed as much as Tom, as I think James said last week. So, you know, those two playing together, they were just fearsome, weren't they? And with these new interpretations, they've clearly got their heads around it and are now just, you know, milking penalties out of it. So that's great. In terms of individual players, I think we've probably covered them all. You know, we've covered virtually the whole back line, haven't we? I thought Valerie Morozov looked quite solid at one. You know, there's a bit of a worry after it was Harrison, wasn't it, pulled out in the warm-up, I think. So he looked solid and good to see him back on the pitch. And, you know, as you rightly say, in terms of those individual matchups, every sort of player for Sale was probably superior to the Bristol player in their all equal positions. It's hard to say. But I just think in terms of the connections, you know, De Klerk and Tuilagi look like they can play quite well together. Tom Curry and Tuilagi seem to have a pretty good understanding from their England sort of training sessions together. So, you know, there are, I think we could pick out any individual player and say they play well. And I thought De Klerk played much better on Saturday than he has for a long time. Just showed that control, probably benefited from having a decent forward pack in front of him, and that's how he plays for South Africa, so that's probably why he's playing better for us. But you know, the way the team's working and you're seeing those combinations work, I think is really encouraging. So you know, it's very encouraging given we've got a week off going into the next game.
Absolutely. And one kind of final thing on the Bristol game that I think you've alluded to, De Klerk had a great game. And he has these great partnerships developing with like Tuilagi. But, you know, spare a thought for Shark Tank podcast favourite AJ McGinty, who I didn't necessarily think he had his absolute best game in a Sale shirt on Saturday. But that kind of level of control and his skill set in tandem with De Klerk's, which allows De Klerk to be a little bit more adventurous and be a little bit more ball dominant, especially against a weakened team like Bristol, where we saw him play, you know, we saw him play to his absolute best. You know, he completely ran the show. And I think it helps the fact that McGinty is someone who maybe doesn't need the ball in his hands as much, but can still find a way to to have an effect on the game. I thought he was pretty good defensively as well, kind of throwing himself around and chasing after loose balls, which is something we know McGinty does. But you just kind of think, well maybe having a 10 who doesn't need to expand as much energy in the attack kind of frees him up to be a little bit more abrasive defensively. And because of that, you see McGinty's impact around the field a little bit more than you would say Rob Dupria, with the added benefit of him allowing, you know, De Klerk to kind of do his thing. And against a weakened Bristol team, he tore them to shreds, you know. And I don't know what you think, Alex, but I think Sale, as it stands, swapping Tuilagi for Van Rensburg aside, I think we might have settled on our best back line for the rest of the season. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I agree. I think there's, as I said before, I think Byron McGuigan still deserves his place in that on, you know, his performances so far. But I do completely agree that that back line looks like our best combinations, and in terms of quality of players, I think it looks really, really good. So that's really encouraging. I would definitely agree, mate. I think, you know, there's an argument for Will Clough to come in for certain types of games, and Sam Hill maybe can offer something a bit different. But I certainly think that, you know, McGinty is playing the best of the 10s. Sam James is our best 13. Luke James is our best 15. Solomon and Yard look both on massive form. And as I say, McGuigan to potentially come in. So then your sort of questions are at 12, Tuilagi looks like a brilliant player. And then 9, and I think, as you say, the way De Klerk played behind that pack on Saturday just, you know, reaffirms his sort of his class. If our pack can give him that platform, then he will tear teams apart. He will make the magic pass and he will control the game.
Absolutely. So we've decided on maybe our first choice sale back line for the rest of the season. Whether or not Steve Diamond and the coaching staff will see it that way when they play their next game, which is away to Leicester in a week's time on Saturday, giving the Sharks an extended break, if you can call it that, for the first time in the last couple of weeks, remains to be seen. But we obviously are sans James today, so I'm going to have a go, I should say, at putting together a little bit of a preview as to what to expect from Leicester. So this is where the restart stuff gets very interesting if you're a Sale fan, because Leicester, well, I'm maybe a little bit less diplomatic than James. Leicester suck. They're a bad team. If it wasn't for Saracens cheating the salary cap, they would probably be going down this year. Steve Borthwick's obviously come in and he's made... there's been a lot of turnover in their squad over the past couple of months. A lot of that, obviously, has been to the benefit of other clubs. Manu Tuilagi is now a Sale Shark. Toulouse Vianu is now playing in France. But we were starting to see maybe some signs of life from the Tigers under their new management, given that on Wednesday, after Sale had beaten Wasps, Leicester managed to scrape, and I can't stress this enough, scrape a 13-7 win over London Irish. That, unfortunately, however, was followed up by a 46-30 loss yesterday, that being Sunday, to Gloucester. So, Alex, I'll throw this one back to you a little bit, because I really kind of want to set this up as the fact that Sale are going into this game as heavy, heavy favourites. Leicester look a really poor team. They're in transition. They are really struggling. You know, they've actually only won 5 games so far this season, which does leave them in 11th. They're in that kind of dogfight with Worcester and Irish directly above them, but they have been saved a little bit by the Saracens salary cap scandal. So Leicester are a team very much in free fall whilst we're on the up. James wants me to mention the fact that Leicester will be absolutely targeting this game. It's at home. It's a game that they think we might kind of take our eye off a little bit, given how poor Leicester have been earlier in the season. And obviously you have the fact that we've taken arguably their marquee attraction in Manu Tuilagi, whilst Leicester is still topping up some of his wages as well. So there's a real kind of rivalry element to it there. But from your perspective, you, kind of considering where these two teams are respectively at the moment, do you think Sale opt to roll with a full strength team at Welford Road next week? Or do you think we go for a slightly more rotated option to recognise the fact that this Leicester team are very bad?
Very, very diplomatic of you, mate. Yeah, I think it's completely right. You know, we're playing the side 11th on the table, and it's not like this is a Leicester side who had a shocking season, like out of the blue. This has been a trend for a while. They are not in the best place as a club. I think we have to definitely, you know, they've still got talent and they've probably got a bit more fight now, you know, with a new coaching setup and that kind of thing. And they're sort of starting from the ground up, and games like us are a massive opportunity there for them, especially at home. I know it's obviously different without fans, but for them to sort of make a statement. So I definitely think they'll be targeting it. I think the Tui Lange point is a great one. You know, they are going to be, you know, hacked off at us, and you know, probably there's an element that, you know, fair enough, you kind of expect it. There's you know, we haven't let go that Wasps got a pizza outside our ground in 2009, so I can understand them being a bit annoyed at us over Tui Lange playing for us. But I think, yeah, I agree with all that said, even if Leicester put out their best team, we don't need a full strength team to on paper beat them. And I think the interesting thing at the moment is our best team on paper isn't our best team. You know, we tried that against Quinns and it didn't quite come off. So certainly I think there'll be an element of rotation. We've got Sarri's, I think it's 4 days afterwards or 5 days afterwards. We play Leicester on the Saturday and Sarri's on the Wednesday. And then we go into a game against Bath on the Sunday. Now, Bath, you know, that's a game we've got to be winning. They're a sort of competitive top four. Sarri's, we should be winning, but, you know, in effect, Sarri's are the best team in the league still, even after all that's happened. So are we, you know, we can't take the risk of going weak against Leicester and Bath and going all guns blazing for Sarri's because it could backfire on us. So I think, for me, it's got to be a decent strength team, probably similar to what we saw on Saturday, but just kind of recognising the fact that we need to have an equally good strength team up. Sorry, and the benefit at the moment is that, you know, the combinations, the way they work, probably I think what we've seen is that De Klerk and McGinty work well and Cliff and Dupria work well. And therefore, if we play those two combinations, you know, we're in a good place. We've got a lot of options at inside centre. There's probably an issue at outside centre with Sam James and how we manage that. But I would be going, I think we need to win this game. I think we need to keep the momentum up. You know, other teams are chasing us, so we have to kind of not let them catch us. So I think staying ahead of the pack is better than, you know, taking a weakened side, potentially losing to Leicester, and then sort of being back in the mire. So I would certainly be going for a stronger team as possible, with the caveat that obviously we'll be playing Sarri's on the Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, that's something you really have to just kind of keep an eye on at the moment, how thick and fast these games are coming. And interestingly, we saw on Sunday, you know, Leicester put out basically an academy team to play away at Gloucester, you know, and they gave it a good go. But their eyes obviously kind of on this game as being perhaps a winnable one to kind of get them at least, you know, off the figurative bottom of the table without Saracens there. So it is interesting, you know, they are still very reliant on Ben Youngs and George Ford as their kind of 9-10 pivot. But you look around the squad and it is a lot weaker than it has been for a number of years. And losing to Alangi and Vianu is, you know, certainly isn't going to help that. So I agree. I think you kind of have to go into this game and say, well, we need to pick a strong team because we need to keep momentum up. And, you know, we need to make sure that our place in the top four is cemented with wins over teams that we should beat on paper. But we also have to caveat the fact that we've got Saracens who are about to go into a Champions Cup quarter-final in a couple of weeks, so who've started playing their kind of Tier 1 internationals again, waiting for us on the Wednesday. So I'd be interested to get your thoughts on this, but I would probably go for a very similar team to the one that we saw on Saturday, but with an eye of if we can get 20 or 30 points on the board over Leicester by the 55-minute mark, we just kind of take everyone off who we want to play for Saris and wrap them in cotton wool and bubble wrap. You know, I think that's the approach that seems to make the most sense. I'd be interested to get your thoughts on that, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think you're right to sort of, in effect, we go for it. We put them away in the first half, and then we like you say, get the subs on. I definitely think that's the best approach, because that team looked really good against Bristol. They've had a week's full rest. Get them playing again together, get those combinations working, put Leicester away in the first half. This is obviously the ideal. And then, bring on the sort of squad players to then rest our bigger players to come and do another game against Saris on the Wednesday. The risk there, obviously, is that we don't put Leicester away in the first half. But I think, we should do. If we play well, like we're playing, we've got to start fast, go first half, and then, as you rightly say, then you take players off, wrap them in cotton wool, and you're looking good for Saris on the Wednesday. In theory, that'll be the perfect outcome.
Absolutely. In theory, on paper, it's a faultless plan, but we'll see if Leicester have anything to say about that next week. So let's finish the pod with some predictions. I'm thinking, despite a full-strength Leicester team, Sale... buoyed by the last couple of game weeks, should have this one handedly. So I'm going to say Sale 31, Leicester 17.
Very nice. I think our defence is so good at the moment that I don't think Leicester will get 17 points. But I don't think we'll score quite as many. So I will go Sale 26, Leicester 10.
Wonderful. So we've both gone pretty confident with Sale. So we'll see if our optimism is well placed just at this time.
Last
next
time
week.
We did that, we lost. So
yes, yeah, and with everything that's going on at the moment with Premiership Rugby, you just do as we saw on Saturday. You just do not know what's going to happen with the team selection, which ultimately can really decide the game even before the first whistle. So that's it for another pod. That's four in the last 10 days or so. Thanks for everyone who's been listening to all these kind of mini pods and engaging with us on Twitter. And thank you to Alex for joining me.
Thanks very much, mate. And thanks to everyone for listening. We will speak to you hopefully after a victory against Leicester next Saturday.